Blog Talk Radio.
3. It is good to give thanks unto Yahweh and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. It is good to give thanks unto Yahweh and to sing praises unto thy name, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. Upon an instrument of ten strings, upon a psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. For thou, O Yah, hast made me glad through thy works. I will triumph in thy hand. It is good to give thanks unto Yahweh and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. It is good to give thanks unto Yahweh and to sing praises unto thy name. Those that planted in the house of Yah shall flourish in the courts of Yah. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing to show that Yah is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. It is good to give thanks unto Yahweh and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. It is good to give thanks unto Yahweh and to sing praises unto thy name. Some are praise to sing with our voice and string. Some are praise to Yahweh, some are praise to Yahweh, some are praise to Yahweh, praise him. He is the Elohim of the Israelites. He is Yahweh, our sovereign King. It is good to give thanks unto Yahweh and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, O Most High.
Hallelujah. I personally enjoy that song. That is many years old, and I enjoy it. That's some of our saints from the old Florida Exodus who made their way up to Tennessee. Bless you and greetings, everyone. I'm your host tonight, Sister Ashley. I am with Mother Jennifer. Mother is in Georgia. I'm here in Tennessee. Blessed be the name of the Most High Yah for bringing us together. Thank him for breath, life, strength. Hallelujah. Every thing that he is doing. I want to speak to you, Mother Jennifer, so intimately and privately tonight about things that we've never talked about before. But first, let's get a sound check.
Hallelujah. Bless you, Sister Ashley, and shalom to all the daughters of Zion. It's an honor to be back with you all on another episode of Sister to Sister. I pray everyone can hear me. What an awesome testimony, interview, episode we had last week from our dear Mother Chris Muir. Sister Ashley, you did an excellent job really asking the proper questions and pulling out the wisdom from our new mother, and I just wanted to thank you so much for that. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. We have 6 weeks and 5 days until Passover. 6 weeks, 5 days. Can you believe that, Mother? Can you talk about Be a Blessing really briefly?
Yes, ma'am. I do have a list for Be a Blessing. So these are items that you can bring with you for Passover, or you can order them early and have them shipped. So I'm going to go ahead and read the list. I'm just going to read it quickly. It's posted all over social media. I believe it's on Facebook. So if you need to revisit that list, please get it from social media, or you can replay this episode and you can hear it again. So Hefty Supreme 8.5-inch plates, Hefty Supreme 12-ounce bowls, 12-ounce foam cups, Vanity Fair napkins, Viva signature cloth paper towels, plastic forks and spoons, and toilet paper. Pretty short list that we have, Sister Ashley. So it should be pretty simple to go ahead and get that knocked out. And I'm going to give you all the address that you can send it to. It is 5554 Pumpkintown Lane, and that is Lafayette, Tennessee, 37083. That's 5554 Pumpkintown Lane, Lafayette, Tennessee, 37083. And please contact the dining hall to let them know if you've placed an order so that they will know to be expecting it. Sister Ashley?
Glory, hallelujah. Hey, tonight we're going to pry into Mother Jennifer's experience with her sister wives, polygyny, whatever her heart or however the Father leads her heart as well. And I'm just here to mediate between you guys who are listening and her with the experience. So I got a lot of good feedback from last week's show. We spoke to Mother Chris, Chris Muir, and a lot of sisters really enjoyed it. I have a sister in the audience tonight who said she was glued to it, really listening and attentively. So thank you. Mother Jennifer, is there anything, any announcement, any words you want to say before we kick off our conversation?
I don't have any announcements or anything. I think we can go ahead and move on, Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. Like I said, last week we spoke with Mother Chris, and I would like to surprise you all by having her on for just a brief moment, opening up tonight's show. Mother Chris, are you there? Speak to me. Can I hear you?
Yes, ma'am, Sister Ashley. I am here.
Thank you for being so willing to call in one more time. I just got one question. Please share with the audience tonight what you have learned, no matter how brief or long it is, what you have learned about polygyny from Mother Jennifer.
Yes, ma'am. So I'm just so excited to be able to speak some words of admiration for my mother, Mother Jennifer, and just say how much she means to me and how blessed I've personally been to have her in my life. You know, so first and foremost, even in the world, I really desire to be under the tutelage of an aged woman. And I would go to, it was an elder in our church, and I went to his wife, and I asked her, you know, can you teach me? Like, can I come over a couple days a week and you teach me something? And the woman laughed at me and said, oh, God, no. She said, I am an elder's wife, but it doesn't mean I can teach you anything. And I said, oh, okay. So, you know, I had went to another woman in the church, and I'm like, okay, I just read, you know, Titus 2, and it says that the older women are supposed to teach the younger, you know, and she seemed like a good wife. She had several children. She homeschooled. I'm like, you must be the one. You know, can you teach me? And she didn't say no, but she also didn't say yes, and, you know, it never happened. And so fast forward to coming into the faith, you know, let me say there's been many women who have poured into me here, you know, starting with Mother Carol and then Mother Jennifer as well. And there was a time I wanted to share when we were in Green Bay years ago for the debate, I believe. And I went to Mother Jennifer in the same spirit I had before, and I just said, while we're here, can I just follow you? You know, can I shadow you while we're here? And she laughed also and said, yes, ma'am. So whenever they cooked or cleaned or whatever they were doing while we were there just for that weekend, I followed her and Auntie and did everything that they did, and even kind of stayed in the background when they were doing other things and just and watched, and I saw such a beautiful relationship between Mother Jennifer and Auntie. I saw just the way they would laugh and joke. I saw the way they would communicate when it came down to tasks and duties there. I saw Auntie give Mother space to be Mother as well. And I didn't see any competition. I saw how they would, like, joke together when it came to Elder, how they would serve Elder. And I was just like, wow, you know, I really was impressed by the way that they were together. And then later on, I said to her in a conversation that if I had a sister wife, I would want our relationship to be just like her and Auntie. And she told me, you know, that's interesting you say that. She said, because if that's what you want, you have to know that you're going to go through things, you know, and you're going to have to be willing to be told the truth, and you're going to have to be willing to tell the truth even when it's uncomfortable. And I was like, hallelujah. So, of course, I didn't know what that meant, but I would later find out. But I, those words always stuck with me. And that's what how Mother is. Like, she's so real and personable, and she's never held back with me. And the last thing I want to share is how there was a time when polygyny was at my door, and I was in a time of weakness, and I called Mother, and I was probably in tears, and I said, Mother, I'm not you. I don't know if I can do this. I'm not you, and I'm not Mother Carol, and I'm just not you. And she said, you're right. She said, but you can be better. And that's only something a mother would say, because a mother, any good mother, wants their child to be better. So if she wasn't telling me that somehow I possessed something that her and Mother Carol didn't, you know, absolutely not. They've been in the faith. They walk with power and strength. You know, she wasn't saying that I had something that was so different, but what she was saying, as a good mother would, that you have the examples in front of you. You know, we can pour into you. We pour into you. You can go on and do better. And that's with me today. And I love her so much for always taking the time to tell me the truth, for never pushing me away, never trying to send me to the next, you know, to love me and to pour into me and just to be the mother that she is. So I just want to thank you, Mother, and tell you that I love you dearly.
Hallelujah. Mother Jennifer, would you like to speak before I let her go?
Wow. Bless you.
Bless you, Mother.
Bless you. I love you dearly. And I believe your position as mother is very well deserved. And I just look forward to truly watching you grow even more. So bless you.
Hallelujah. Bless you, Mother. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Mother Chris, thank you so much for your time. Please sit back and enjoy the show if you're able as we dive into Mother Jennifer's story. Thank you for calling.
Yes, ma'am. Bless you. Shalom.
Glory. All right. Let's get off into Mother Jennifer's marriage. First and foremost, I'm sure all of you know that she was married to, or she is married to, Elder Rufus. And she, how many years ago, met him? I won't say it. I'll let you say it. What year did you meet Elder Rufus?
We met in 2019.
All right.
And we were married in 2020.
Mother Jennifer, 2019?
I'm sorry, Sister Ashley. 2009.
Yes, 2009.
And we were married in 2010.
Forgive me. No problem. Bless you. Hey, you're keeping me on my P's and Q's because I could have just kept rolling, you know. But let's go to a traditional wedding vow. In the name of God, I, and you would have said, Mother Jennifer, take you, Rufus Carswell, to be my husband, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poor, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish until we are parted by death or until death do us part, as they say. Let's start there. Let's start with wedding vows. Did you make them? Did you say them?
We did, Sister Ashley. We did make wedding vows. You know, one thing that I think about coming to the faith is that you hear pastor talking about obedience. You know, he talks about the things that are in the word when it comes to the men and the women. But when we made our vows in the world, I don't remember the word obedient being used when it came time for me to say, I will. Now, it was already established, you know, from what Elder had taught me, you know, that a woman is to be obedient. So, you know, I did have a little understanding. And then when we came into the faith, that understanding has grown even more. So, yes, ma'am, we did say vows, but it's nothing compared to the vows that when you see the weddings that are done at Straightway. Ashley.
Hallelujah. I want to go back to that point one more time for another question as we build on your marriage, because it's such a powerful transformation that happens when you initially start a marriage with, you know, specific ideas or thoughts or, you know, just the basic foundation of what everyone might confess with their vows, right? A traditional marriage. But you both were very different, obviously. And let's go back, though, to the small ceremony. What was it like to the 20 guests maybe that you had, to the room, to the dress, to the flowers, to the wedding rings? Tell me a little bit more.
Right. Yes, ma'am. We were in the middle of our living room, and we had about 20 people present. We did not have rings. Like I said, Elder had, you know, some understanding of what we would do and what we would not do based on, you know, the things of Yah, the will of Yah. So it was very, very small. It's interesting because, you know, growing up, when you're a little girl, you have these dreams of having this huge wedding and all these people are going to attend and they're going to be looking at the bride. And, you know, and when it came time for me to actually be married, none of that manifested. And I didn't care at the time because I knew that the man that I was getting married to, I knew that he was the one that would take care of me. I was the one that would be his helpmeet. So all that other carnal stuff was pretty much out of the window. It didn't matter. Now, I do want to say when you make your vows, when you make your wedding vows in the world and you come into the truth, and you come into a greater level of truth, I didn't know that, you know, it was acceptable, that it was Yah's way for a man to have more than one woman. So when I made my vows at that time, you know, I'm thinking that we would be together, Elder Rufus and myself, and I'm not thinking that he has the right to take on another woman. As you come into the faith and as things change and as you grow and as you mature and as you learn the way of Yah, your husband will start to grow. You know, he will gain understanding, and that's what happened with Elder Rufus. And I want to say that I have spoken with women who get hung up, Sister Ashley, on the vows that they made in the world. They get hung up on that, and they say that, you know, well, we made these vows, and it was you that said that you would be committed to me and me only. And when you come into the faith, though, you got to remember there's a growth that takes place. Every vow that we made in the world, then we would still be Christians. If we're still following that same mindset, we would still be Christians. And I don't want to, you know, I didn't want to continue to be a Christian. So when you come this way, you take on the ways of Yah, you take on the mind of Yah, you take on everything that is about him when you start following his commandments and his ways. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. I'd like to acknowledge everyone in Elder Rufus's home, whether I say their name or you say their name or not tonight. I just want to give a shout out to all of you and bless you for just walking out the Father's will. Let's go to Chandra for a moment, because I remember a phone conversation I had with Chandra many, many years ago when she was in Ohio and she was new to the faith and very on fire for the Father. She was packing up. She was putting things in boxes, and she had so much faith that she was going to leave, that she had those boxes sitting around, like literally waiting on the opportunity to get out of the city and live and be with the saints. And so then that was just my first time. I'll never forget that conversation. And then she moved to Georgia, or let's say Georgia is established. You know, Georgia got established with, you know, moving into one house first, and you guys moved to a different land, and now you are where you are. So there's a lot of experiences that we won't stop and talk about, but getting to building a friend and building a sister and having someone almost like a right hand, as we've called sisters before, talk to me about Chandra, Mother Jennifer.
Yes, ma'am, Sister Ashley. So my head, Elder Rufus, he has four women that he is over. So we have Sister Chandra, we call her Auntie. We have Bonnie, and then we have Mama T. So starting with Sister Chandra, she was the one who had heard the preachings of Pastor Dowell, and I believe she actually sent a video of Pastor Dow to Elder before we even came into the faith. So we knew Chandra even before the faith. And the thing that really, I think, struck me about Auntie was her servitude. It was her determination to serve and to love no matter what. I remember when I was pregnant with Mariah, and I had given birth to Mariah, and during my purification, my mother and my father came to visit, and my mother was so impressed with how very well I was taken care of, you know, because this was the first visit that my parents had taken since I, you know, had come into the faith. So they had no idea, really, you know, how I was living, if I was doing well or not. And so my mother was really impressed, though, with the level of care that I was given. I'd had a home birth, you know, and everybody was in my family. They didn't understand home birth. You know, they were all about hospital births. And so the love that was displayed from Chandra to myself, and, you know, she would say things like, I want to clean this exactly how you would. So tell me how you would do it. I want to take care of the baby exactly how you would. You know, she just really helped me. When there were times when, you know, I didn't have sleep, she would say, why don't you let me have the baby so you can get some sleep? And there was just a high level of servitude when Chandra, you know, first came into the faith. Sister Ashley?
Thank you. Thank you for that. And so, let's talk, or can you talk about that next step? When Chandra was added to your family, maybe your mind or your heart, what you had to, how you had to think, what just anything that comes to mind when you started a new journey as your husband had grown and you were following him.
Sister Ashley, I remember when Pastor first started talking about polygyny, and we had not yet moved to Lyerly. We were in the process of having the trailer that we live in now, having that moved to the land. And so we were not on the land yet, but I remember distinctly Pastor started talking about polygyny and, you know, what they call the high octane ping. I felt that for maybe a second. I knew that there was something in me that was in resistance to what Pastor was talking about. Pastor was talking about the ways of Yah. He was talking about polygyny, how a man has, you know, the right to be able to take on another woman. It is biblical. And I remember not understanding, but I felt that high-octane ping in me. And I remember saying to myself, okay, what is this that is so resistant? I guess it was a fear. Now that I think back, it was a fear that I felt. And we'll talk about, I'll talk about fears a little bit later, but there was a fear that I had not dealt with. And I can say that the more Pastor talked about it, this was during a time when you had a lot of women who were just so resistant to hearing the truth. You know, they were talking behind the scenes about it, and not in a righteous way. It was in a very unrighteous way. And so, you know, Pastor being the pastor that he is, he kept on speaking the truth, kept on speaking the truth. And I remember just really seeking the Father for myself, because I remember, you know, telling him, Father, if you show me your truth, I will follow it. If you show me your truth, I will follow it. And so Pastor kept speaking the truth, and I started to truly receive it. Now, Elder and I, the conversations that we were having, Elder was saying things like, I'm straight, I don't want another wife, I'm good. You know, he was saying things like that. And I remember looking at him one night, and I said, what if Yah desires you to take on another wife? And he just kind of looked at me, and he said he had never really thought about it that way. And he took some time, and you know, he really got with the Father, and we were having good, healthy conversations about polygyny, about taking on another, him taking on another woman, what that would mean, covering another woman, what that would require from him, what that would require from me. I mean, we really had good, healthy conversations about it. I had Mother Carol that I was able to speak with about it. Mother Carol was speaking very openly. Pastor was speaking very openly. So when it was introduced in the ministry, I believe it was very healthy. It wasn't something that was hush-hush, even though a lot of things were private, but the conversations that were being had were not shut down, if that makes sense, Sister Ashley. And then I remember getting to the point where I suggested Sister Chandra. I said, well, have you considered or would you consider Sister Chandra? And, of course, Elder needed time to, you know, to pray and to seek the Father, and he did. Now, having said that, I did not stay in his ear. You know, what about Sister Chandra? What about Sister Chandra? I suggested it, and then I stepped back, because I did not want to be the overbearing that makes sense. Does that answer your question?
It sure does. Absolutely, it makes sense. And I admire your willingness to love a woman in that way. That is something that you teach other women. And I've known you for years, and I've heard you say it more than once, that you had to have had this, which is polygyny, to make it into the kingdom. Like, you know you that way. Like, you knew you needed it. And it's a two-part question. So I'm going to drop that into your mind. Why did you have to have this to make it into the kingdom? And the second part of that question is, why do you say that it's healing, or how healing it was for you or for women? That's polygyny. So speak, please.
You know, Sister Ashley, the heart knows its own bitterness. I knew that I had a level of selfishness in me, a level of selfishness that I could see in me. And I knew that I had to literally let go of that level of selfishness. And I knew from Pastor's teachings that the only thing that would get rid of that level of selfishness would be polygyny. And I remember thinking, okay, Father, and just like Mother Chris said in her interview, she said, you know, you ask the Father for patience, and he doesn't say, okay, I'm going to grant you patience. He puts you in a position to where you will be tested and you will have to exercise patience. So it was the same way. I had to exercise being selfless, not focusing on me, but really learning how to love someone else, you know, even more than me, putting them before me. You know, this woman, Chandra, had come into my life having this, I don't know if you want to call it a handmaid spirit, but a simple servant spirit from the beginning. And so what greater love is it than to, you know, I would say things like, oh, she's so deserving of such a really good husband. She's so deserving of a really good husband. But I didn't know that it would be, that we would have the same husband. I didn't know that. But when all this came about, I understood that, you know, this is what is going to allow me to operate in a level of selflessness. It's going to allow me to not focus on me all the time. You know, like I said, the heart knows its own bitterness. And when you just, you know, you just want Yah. You just want his righteousness. And so you start to pray and you start to ask him to help you in areas. And you know the things that you have to give up, even if, when they're the difficult things. So I knew for me that it was selflessness that I had to learn. And you asked about healing, why it was healing for me. You know, when you talk about the gifts, all the gifts work through love. And I wanted to say that, you know, love was there from day one. You know, that was just something easy. It was automatically there from day one between Chandra and myself. And then that way, when the other women came in, when Bonnie came in, we could exhibit the same level of love. You know, when there's a strong core to begin with, when the other women come in, then you can show the same love. So when Bonnie came in, we were able to bring Bonnie in and extend love and show love. And, you know, I remember her saying, like, wow, I've never experienced anything like this before. I remember Bonnie being in tears saying, I just wish all women could literally experience this, because it's not something that you can explain or always put into words. But, you know, she was desiring for all women to be able to experience it. And then once we were able to bond as a unit, myself, Bonnie, and Chandra, then Mama T came in. And so now we're able to display the same love with Mama T so that we can all bond and be a strong, cohesive unit for Elders family. But in the areas of healing, Sister Ashley, there's a vulnerability that has to take place in order for women to be able to heal. There are traumas from the past that women have not reconciled. They have not remembered. They might be too ashamed to speak of those traumas, the things that have taken place. But when you have polygyny and you have sister wives, you are able, it's a safe place. There are things that I can tell my sister wives, I can feel open, I can feel safe with them. There are things that I can share with them, and I can get the healing that I need, because I know that they are going to be able to lovingly help me in the areas that I need. I'm not going to feel like they're going to judge me. They're not going to mistreat me. It's so different from the world. You know, the world is set up to where women cannot trust one another. Women are not taught to trust one another. Women are taught in the world to, if you have a disagreement, you just don't talk to that person anymore. You walk away. You shut down. But with polygyny, like, we're one family. Nobody's going anywhere. We're going to work this out. This is a safe place. Let's get you the healing that you need. Let's do what we got to do so that we can focus on just really building up Elders' home. Does that make sense, Sister Ashley?
It sure does. It's beautiful. Can I play a clip that you sent to me for tonight's show, The Daughters of Zion Are Being Restored?
Yes, ma'am, please.
Perfect.
I believe the women are who they are. They were created to be helpmeets to us. But I think it's high time that the men give the women something to support. Hallelujah. It's high time that the men be more spiritual, not religious, more spiritual than these women. But it's high time these men take hold of their families, take hold of the relationship they have with the Father, and be able to hear from him so that he can lead and guide you to all levels of truth for you and your family. I think it's a shame because I'm a man that raises daughters, right? And I look out amongst Israel and I say, who's a man worthy of my daughter? And I know every single thing that myself and my family, my wives have poured into my daughters. And I sit there and say, what man is worthy of this? You know what I mean? What man will take this and understand the beauty in it and not only put it on the shelf to be seen, but care for it, polish it up, make it look great, put it in a position where it can be just a glory to the Most High. Yeah, who can do that? There's an incredible movement now where the daughters of Zion are being restored. This world has raped and pillaged them and violated them and molested them. You name it, right? Did everything to steal and kill them and get to a point to destroy them. But Yah said, no, I'm going to go ahead and step in here. And I'm going to raise up mighty men, men that love me above all. And they will see these precious jewels. And what these men will do is help restore these women back to the beautiful place that I created them to be in. But they're going to have to be real men that love way beyond anything they've seen on this earth. And the unfortunate thing is that the Bible talks about in Isaiah how seven of these women are going to cleave to one man. And I'm watching that take place. Because when I start to look out in the landscape of this thing, I don't see many men worthy to go through the process of helping restore these women to get this reproach off of them, this Jezebelic, rebellious, independent spirit that this world and this devil has tried to put on them, right? I don't see many men worthy of that. I don't see many men that can look in the eye and love them no matter what they hear or see or find out. I don't see many men that want to burn the midnight oil, spend that time with the Father and seek his face, to hear his voice clearly, to develop a real relationship where you hear his voice, even in the midst of chaos, you will hear his voice, and then you will walk in confidence in guiding your family with those instructions. It is a humble state to serve your master. It is a humble state to get past everything you desire and love something more than you love yourself. It's a humble state to care about nothing but the will of the one you serve.
Hallelujah. What's your thoughts?
You know, Sister Ashley, my thoughts are the thoughts of true gratitude. When I hear Elder Rufus's words, I'm so grateful that I have that opportunity to be loved beyond anything that I could ever have told him or anything that he would see in me going through the healing process. That he never held anything against us at all. You know, we all, the wives, we all have that in him. And I'm so grateful. I'm so honored that we are under a ministry at Straightway who is led by Pastor Dow, who teaches men to be men, and that we can be loved beyond any trauma that we've experienced. And we can mirror the love of Elder. So, you know, you mentioned this during the last show, but I can't emphasize this enough, that what polygyny has really taught me is that a man's capacity to love is so huge compared to a woman's capacity. When I look at the way that Elder loves and I look at the way that he loves each one of his wives, it gives me a desire to want to mirror that love. When I see his level of patience that he operates in, his level of correction, You know, sometimes you might think, okay, you've done something wrong and, oh, he's going to come with the hammer. But no, he's so gentle, you know, in the way that he deals with you. When he needs to come down hard, then he will. But he's so wise in the way that he handles you. He's not led by his emotions at all. And it truly is a blessing to be able to see a man's love in action so that we can mirror our love according to that. And that is how we, as his women, have learned how to love one another. Have we had bumps? Yes, we have. But we've been able to work through it all. You know, the thing that I remember in my mind is nobody's going anywhere. You know, we're in this together. Nobody's going anywhere. So we're going to work this out. But really, being in a place, again, where we are safe, where we can be loved beyond what that man hears or sees from us, we can be healed from past traumas. We are safe to confide in him. And he talked about being able to hear the voice of Yah in the midst of chaos. You know, sometimes it can be chaotic in our minds. And we can always go to him and say, you know, Elder, I've got this going on. Can I talk to you? I need you to really help me sort out some of my thoughts. And he's able to get past all the chaos in your mind, and he's able to just truly hear the voice of the Father and minister to you. So I just wanted to really extend my gratitude to Elder. Sister Ashley?
I have a few thoughts, and I hope that I can speak them and then formulate a question. So I'm just going to kind of talk for a minute. But as restoration is happening to anyone, and specifically women, of course, that's who we're talking to any sister, as restoration is happening, you can still have a overaccumulation of feelings that distort the restoration. So you might not notice it because you don't feel it. And that's how I want to go into the next thought. So restoration is happening for your family, for many, but Satan will present an inferiority, mother, and he may say, do I or do we need to be polygynous to be, to have that much understanding, to have a good marriage, to have information about marriage, to, you know, Satan can present, I got to have more than one to be a man, I got to have a sister wife to have, whatever he might do, whatever comparison that Satan might present. Can you talk to that for a minute?
Yes, ma'am. You know, we hear from the leaders a lot that who say that everyone will not be involved in polygyny. Everybody is not going to be, and it'll be a very low percent of those who will be involved in polygyny. And, you know, my belief is that if you're not called to live out polygyny and you are in a monogamous marriage, or if you are in a marriage with one man and one woman, then my belief is that you make that the best marriage that you can have. You know, make sure that you're submitted to your husband if you are the only woman. Make sure that even if you don't have sister wives, make sure that with your sisters that are in the ministry that you are exhibiting love on great levels, that you are approachable, that you are available to help them with whatever they need, that you are really understanding and knowing what the bitterness is in your own heart, that you're not avoiding women because that's what we were taught in the world. So it's not that you have to live polygyny to have an understanding. It just means that you be the best of what Yah has for you. It's not chosen for you to live. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. So let's talk about, or have you speak about jealousy for a minute. Why does this modern thought seem to be in so many minds that when your husband or when a man is going to be with more than one woman, the focus is on body and sex. Why does the mind go there?
You know, Sister Ashley, jealousy, I believe jealousy occurs when women simply do not understand or know their value, and the preconceived fears will start to come in. And then you start listening to the devil, you know. He won't love me anymore. He won't provide for me anymore. He won't need me anymore. And those things are not true. If you understand and know your value to the Most High, you know your value to your husband, then you won't diminish yourself. You won't diminish your value by allowing the devil to really spit in your ear. And when you have that jealousy that occurs, you know, and you let the devil run with your thoughts, and then you start accusing your husband, and you put yourself in a position that you were not even meant to be in at all. And I will say this, that women seem to be obsessed with sex, especially when it comes to polygyny. The way that I think about it is I have a brother who lives next door to me, right? I'm not going to think about or consider what my brother and his wife are doing in their bedroom because it's none of my business at all, and I don't want to know. So just as my husband, Elder Rufus, he has other women, I'm not concerned about what they do in the bedroom because it's none of my business. He is my brother, and those are my sisters. Those are separate covenants. Those covenants are none of my business. So that is the way that you have to look at it. That covenant is none of your business at all. That is that man's covenant. And when you start to, you know, think about the sex aspect, well, what are they doing? It's none of your business. So that's when you start to get into areas where you're not authorized at all. That's when you start allowing preconceived fears to come in, the traumas from the past. We talked about traumas a little bit, but, you know, I believe that women have not, in some cases, have not dealt with past traumas. We were not raised in this culture, you know, the Hebrew way. We were not raised in this culture. So the truth may be a shock to your flesh because you may have seen, say, your father have other relationships outside of your mother, and you saw your mother crying, you saw her upset, you know, you saw the troubles and the woes from that relationship between your mother and your father. You never dealt with that. And then you come into the truth and you think polygyny is dirty, and it's not at all. It's just because you have not been raised in the truth, and you have a world that polluted Yah's way. Sister Ashley?
Well said. So I had quite a few thoughts, and I think I want to ask you this one. You mentioned the word dirty because it's our mind and our filth that views, or, you know, that's the lenses that we can wear any given time. So tell me, why is it important to even talk about marriage so much? Girlfriend, concubine, fornication, sex before marriage, manipulation of a woman, never get a state marriage license, do this, right? And so it's talked about a lot. Why?
Because we have been duped, Sister Ashley. We have grown up in a world that has taken away our heritage from us. They have taken this away from us. And, you know, they've taken our culture away from us. And I believe it needs to be talked about because the world works so hard to hide it. So if the world has taken, 39 years of my life and hidden my culture, then the latter part of my years, I want to hear about restoration. I want to hear about my culture. I want to hear about everything that I missed. And it really does make you angry to know that this has been from you. This has been taken from you. This has been hidden from you. So it has to be talked about because, again, your flesh is going to kick when it hears it. So we need to hear it even more. We need to hear Yah's way even more. One thing I wanted to bring up is, you know, with women, we have to understand that women are broken. because of the way that you know, they've been raised, their position in the world, how the world elevates them. So you have broken women who are coming into families. And I think once you understand that we've all been robbed, you know, we've all been duped, that the world has produced a lot of broken women. And so you have broken women coming into the faith. And just speaking on, you know, the level of sister love, love between women, love between sisters. And I really want to harp on love, because I believe that it's easy for women to dismiss one another because we don't understand that there's brokenness that has taken place. There's healing that needs to take place. When you put yourself in that position and know and understand, okay, this woman is not rejecting me. It's just that she's broken and she needs to understand what love is. So you're going to have to put yourself in a position of love, even though that love might be rejected. But you still, being the mature one, have to put yourself in that position to love no matter what. So that's something that the world didn't teach us. Again, you know, this is why I believe it's important to talk about marriage, because the way that the Father loves us, he never, ever just, you know, pushes us away or rejects us. We reject him, but he continually shows his love toward us. Mr. Ashley?
Is polygyny truth because Elder said it, or because you fear losing him, or is it really Yah's mind?
Polygyny is really Yah's mind. I believe that if you have your own personal relationship with the Father, you will get a witness in your spirit of, you know, what is Yah's mind. I'm going to follow this because I know and I understand it's Yah's mind. That man won't have to tell you this is polygyny, you're going to follow it. You know, it's something that is in your heart. It's just something that is in you. It's your culture. It is who you are. It is who he made you. It has nothing to do with what somebody else says about it. Now, do we need to be taught about it? Absolutely, we do. But you get a witness in your heart and your spirit because it's what Yah says. It's in his word. Mr. Ashley?
Hallelujah. I appreciate the chat room comments. I'm following y'all tonight. Bless you all. Thank you for listening. All right, so when it comes to deliverance, you have women that you help in the ministry as a mother for deliverance, and then you have deliverance and working deliverance amongst your family, I'm sure. Talk to me about that deliverance. What do you share, not share? How to be a strength, or what to hold your tongue and refrain from? What's the family dynamic like, polygyny deliverance?
Yes, ma'am. Even though I have three sister wives, I wear the hat of sister. I wear the hat of mother. It depends on what they need me to be. They can come to me and tell me anything, and I will help them with deliverance. I will help them with counsel. Whatever they need, you know, I will help them. Now, I won't judge them. I won't be biased in my counsel to them and what I discern or anything like that. I really take my role as mother very seriously. When it comes to if I have a need, you know, if I need deliverance, if it's something that I know that they can help me with, then I will definitely go to them. If it's something that is, as, you know, Elder would say, above their pay grade, I go to Mother Carol, because I don't want to, you know, cause them to stumble in a way. I will say this, you know, there have been times when as a man and a woman, you know, in one covenant might be working through something. So if Elder and myself, we're working through something, there's something I don't understand, we need help in an area. I don't share that with my sister wives, with my co-wives, because I don't want to cause them to stumble. I don't want them to say, you know, based on the lack of understanding that we as women have, I don't want them to stumble and put themselves in a position that they are not called to be in at all. So if I need help, an elder and I, or you know, both of us, we're working through something, I don't share that co-wise with my sister wise. So I hope that makes sense, Sister Ashley.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for sharing. Bonnie says, "Tell it, mother, and I love you for it. Never biased." And another young sister in the chat room tonight says, "Their bond was beautiful to witness." It's good. It's a good thing that you have a strong bond, that you've made it through and weathered through many storms and against any opposition to still stand and let love be, you know, endure all things and never fail you. Because even a young sister can put in the chat tonight that she's a witness. So raising children, Elder has daughters. You have one of them. What about working with your sister wives, specifically when he has different women, or meaning different daughters that he's raising? Perhaps he's not the same with each one. Talk to us about that.
Yes, ma'am. When it comes to children, we understand and know what his desire is for the daughters. And we make sure that that desire is carried out. So let's say, for example, with Mariah, she has myself, she has Auntie, she has Bonnie, she has Mama T. So they always make sure that they check with me first. Mother, is it okay if we do this for Mariah? We do this with Mariah. Even with Ahava, you know, the youngest baby that we have here, we make sure that we don't overstep. I will say this, that when, you know, when we first found out we were having a baby, we were so excited, and, you know, women get excited, women get carried away. But at the same time, we wanted to make sure that we did not diminish Bonnie's role as mom, even though we are all moms. But we make sure that Elder Rufus's desires are carried out. We put our own feelings aside, and we make sure that we carry out whatever his mission is. It's really important that he is represented well, you know, even through the children. It's important to make sure that he is represented through us, that we're not a shame to him, or that we're not an embarrassment to him at all. So that even shows in the children, in their behavior, in our behavior, you know, in our speech, the way that we talk, the way that we speak to one another, the way that we speak to him, in our appearance, the way that we even take care of ourselves. We can't be hypocritical, you know, in how we treat other women and how we treat our sister wives and how we treat our husband. It's really important to make sure that the children are following suit and that they're not going to be an embarrassment at all to him. We want to make sure that we represent him well because he represents the father well. Sister Ashley?
All right. You said two words. I'm going to bring one back. I'm going to see if there's anything that comes up in your mind that you haven't said. Earlier you said, we'll talk about fears a little bit later. Is there fears that you would like to address that you haven't spoken of thus far?
Yes. The preconceived fears that we had talked about earlier, you know, and I believe this was said by Mother Carol, this was said by Mother Chris, you know, there are a lot of fears that take place, but there are only fears that you have imagined in your mind. It's kind of like when you have a baby, you don't know what it's going to be like being a mother, having a child. You don't know what it's going to be like to actually give birth. And you might hear all these bad stories about from these women who have had horrific labors, you know, ones who have had to have emergency C-sections at the last minute, and, oh, it was awful, it was horrible. Why would you listen to someone who has had a horrible experience? And this is where fears can come from. Why wouldn't you talk to somebody who is actually experienced in a positive way, you know, someone who has been through it, someone who is living it, someone who is successful at it? But I believe fears can come in through people who are uneducated, fears can come from people who have not overcome anything. Fears can come from just all different places. And I don't, you know, we don't need help in the area of, you know, of fear. You know, we don't need any more fear at all. We need to combat fear. We need to combat fear with faith. You know, I'm just going to move forward, Father. I'm going to trust you, and I'm just going to move forward, period. If I have a weak moment, I'm going to do what I need to do to get past that weak moment, and I'm going to move forward. But there's so many fears that women get caught up on because they don't understand their value. They don't understand their value, and they're willing to listen to somebody else's fears, and they take on that fear for themselves. Sister Ashley?
All right, you mentioned the word embarrassment earlier while speaking. Can you bring it back up? How can a woman not be an embarrassment? And you also used it in context with the children not being an embarrassment, but talk to us.
Yes, ma'am. Making sure that your relationship with the Father is truly solid, making sure that your relationship with Him is strengthening you. Your husband should be able to see growth in you. And I know for us, if Elder realizes an area that we're struggling in, that we have not overcome, you know, that we're not growing in, then he will come to us and he will help us to get it right. But there should be continual growth. With all the word that we hear, there should be continual growth. You should not be stuck in the same place. You should not be worse. But you could be an embarrassment if you are stuck in your own selfishness. If you are, you know, pastor is teaching about polygyny and really just overcoming in your mind. And if you allow your mind to just, you know, run, and you can be an embarrassment if you're listening to the voice of the enemy. You can be an embarrassment to your husband because you don't know or understand how to exhibit discipline in your mind. So that can be a level of embarrassment, but there should definitely be growth, and that should be seen, and that is a representation of his home. Mr. Ashley?
I have another clip that you shared with me earlier. Can I play it now?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. We'll take your thoughts right after this.
I mean, more women in the ministry are having issues, you know, fertility issues, sexual issues. I don't even know how you would even place it. Just a bunch of stuff going on in their bodies that the medical profession, they simply just cannot diagnose it. They don't have any answers. When they go get checked out, they say everything is fine. Yet and still, they're not healed. And there's still something that's going on. They tell the doctors the symptoms and everything that is going on within their body to go get checked, and the doctors keep telling them there's nothing wrong with you, and they can't find anything wrong. But this is the issue. This is the problem. If you speak in the form of first thing, which is natural, then as spiritual, that's fine and good. But listen, women, you are designed to be under the headship and the authority of your father. And when you leave your father's house, you are designed to be under the headship and authority of your husband, your man. Anytime that you get out of order, you're going to have hormonal issues. Anytime you're rebellious, disobedient, you're not submissive, you're not the woman of a meek and quiet spirit, you're not that Proverbs 31 woman that the scriptures speak about, your hormones is connected to your spirit. And you're not going to find a lot of answers for a lot of things if you are holding quiet rebellion, secret rebellion, or you're rebellious against Yah, like you don't like his program, you don't accept it. Everybody else can accept it, but not me. So when you have these imbalances, when you have these fertility issues, when you have all this negative discharges and things going awry in your body and stuff, that's because if you are born again, you're not walking in the righteousness and the obedience and the submissiveness of Yah the way you should. And the Most High sees it. And he is not going to bless you in any way, shape, fashion, or form until you line up and get obedience and agree with his program. not only am I talking about biblical marriage, but I'm talking about every form of righteousness that there is. How can you expect peace when you're mentally challenged to continue to believe what you've always have believed and not renew your mind? How can you expect for the Most High God to bless you when you're secretly harvesting rebellion, stubbornness, ill will? And if you don't believe me, put it to the test. Put it to the test. Anything that you know that you have trouble and issue with concerning the scriptures, the Bible, and you're fighting because you've had this feminine spirit somehow, some way on you from this world, submit yourself to God. Resist the enemy, the devil. Agree with his program and do it from your heart to where there's no pain associated with any issue that you may be in conflict with the Most High God. And see, just by the mere fact of you accepting the truth, if things don't start to turn around on you.
Hallelujah, Mother.
You know, Sister Ashley, that was such an awesome video, an awesome word from our shepherd. And I wanted to tie it in to polygyny, because I know Pastor said not just biblical marriage, but just for the sake of this conversation, I wanted to tie it into polygyny, because you could have a secret, a secret hatred for polygyny. You could have a secret hatred towards your sister wife. You could have a secret hatred for your husband and not really deal with it. And those things are going to actually manifest in your body. There are a lot of women who have issues hormonally, who have issues with their cycles, who have issues with their body. But have you really stopped to think that it could be my hatred for polygyny? Have you even confessed that you have a hatred for biblical marriage? Have you confessed that you have a secret hatred for your sister wife? I wanted to go into this. You know, I remember someone asking, is it necessary for sister wives to get along? What if we just get the mission done, we get done what he requires of us, but we're not buddy-buddy? Are we charged to, do we have to get along? Well, you're charged to love. The Bible, you are charged to love. And if you love, then you're definitely going to get along. That's an automatic. And I believe that, you know, the wife that was there first, the principal wife, she would be the one who knows him on a greater level. She would be the one who is charged to help the new wife assimilate to that man. She is the one that you should definitely humble yourself and submit yourself to learn this man. Now, in the same token, as he gets to know the new woman, he might change, you know. So to the principal wife, don't be offended if he changes. If he didn't used to wear jeans and now he wears jeans, don't be offended by that. Don't take it personal. The man is going to change. So there could be secret things that we harbor, and it will affect your body if you don't deal with it. Sister Ashley.
Thank you for that. Are there any things on your notes, anything you've written down that you haven't addressed? I don't want to overstep with all my questions. Can you reflect and just share anything so nothing's unturned?
I want to say that, you know, for those who struggle, not just with polygyny, but with anything, but this really helped me in the area of polygyny. And it's 1 Corinthians 13, and I call it my map to maturity. But it says, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not love, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Love suffereth long. It's kind. It envies not. It is not itself. It is not puffed up. Does not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believes all things, and hope all things. Endureth all things. Love never fails. Where there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Focus on this. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, when I became a woman, I put away childish things. So when you're dealing with something, you're dealing with, let's say you're dealing with another sister, you're dealing with a situation, I stop and ask myself, okay, I have a checklist, my map to maturity. Have I suffered long in this situation? Have I been kind? Have I been envious? Have I been proud or puffed up? Am I boasting in me? Am I boasting in my flesh? Does my behavior represent the King? Am I seeking my own will or my own way? Am I easily provoked or offended? Am I immersed in evil thoughts? Am I rejoicing in the fact that I get to walk in truth? Am I enduring or bearing burdens for my sisters? So you have to compare your character to this list. And if you failed in any of these areas, then you have work to do. It causes you to look at yourself. And remember, it said that, you know, you put away childish things. So you go through this list, and it's going to help you to mature as a woman. When we were children, we spoke as children. We understood as children. But now that we're women, we have to put away the childish things, and we have to learn how to truly love. You have to learn how to love as your husband would love. Father, help me to see what he sees in each of his covenants, in each woman that he has. Help me to love her the way that he loves her. Help me to put her first the way that he does. Help me to have that capacity to love that he has. Sister Ashley.
The chat room is sending their thank yous and their hallelujahs and their praise yahs. You have another witness who says, elder and his family are true examples of what true love looks like. I see my elder and each of his wives and their submission as a family to Yah is beautiful, leaves no room for excuses. That's one of your beloved sisters from your area. Anything else from your notes?
I believe, oh, there's one more thing that I wanted to quote. It's from Ecclesiasticus 25. Verse 1, it says, in three things I was beautified and stood up, beautiful, both before Yah and men. The unity of the brethren, or the unity of sisters, the love of neighbors, a man and a wife that agree. Polygyny is truly such a test for you to be able to be put in a position to agree with your husband. It's not that he's agreeing with you, you're agreeing with him. Because you're under his authority. So this really, really just helped me to be able to put things into perspective that I need to be in agreement. You know, I have a righteous husband. I need to be in agreement with his agenda. I need the unity of my sisters. I need the love of my sisters, and I need to agree with my husband. And I think that's all I have, Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. Let's see. I'm looking over my things as well. As a mother, set aside polygyny for a moment, but as a mother, you're charged to be an example. And I think everyone would say you are. But within your own self, and us all knowing the afflictions of self and the introspective, you know, way that Yah deals with us. In the areas that you don't believe you are an example in, do they exist, and how do you handle that maturely?
Absolutely, they exist. I am my greatest critic, Sister Ashley. You know, I have the same struggles and the same battles as everyone else. I deal with it by getting a hold of my mind, and I have to know when I'm listening to the devil or if this is this really the Father convicting me to just do what I need to do. As long as I know that I am moving forward in righteousness, I'm doing what I need to do, I'm doing what needs to be done, then I know that, you know, I can't criticize myself in certain areas, if that makes sense. But, yes, you are your greatest critic. But I believe that there's a healthy balance that takes place because you don't want to be complacent. You don't want to stay stuck in an area. So you want to make sure that you're always growing, you're always changing, and you're always doing the things that please Yah. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. I'm going to play another clip, and this is my last clip. It's my last and ending notes. I want to hear your thoughts after this clip. I want to give a shout-out to Brother Lee and Sister Nadia. I praise the Most High Yah for both of them and for their example, specifically Nadia, who has been to this show many times and sat right behind me with her notes, just taking notes and loving the Most High. I've watched her grow and soar as a young virgin daughter, and she's now going to belong to Brother Lee. I'm thankful for that. But back to, let's see, 5 years ago, qualifications for marriage, video warning was raw, all caps, raw. I want to play this for you, Mother.
Qualifications of marriage. I'm getting ready to bust open your paradigm, and it's going to get ugly here for a second, but let's go ahead and run through this for a second. Out here in this pagan, satanic American system, you believe that marriage is once you find a girl or a man you're going to get married to, you go down to the courthouse to get a marriage license, and then you go in front of what you call some priest, mop holder, or whatever it is, and somebody signs that marriage contract, the state don't care, and that makes you married. All right? However, that's not biblically right. And mind you, this government said in 1982-83, Public Law 97-280, that the Bible is the word of God, it's the law of the land. Well, let's test that. Let's test that. Number one, when you read the Bible, it lays out marriage, and marriage is intended. See, that's the reason why this is an evil and an adulterous generation. Marriage is intended for a man to get married to a virgin. And that woman is his wife. She is not ever to go out and commit adultery on that man. If she does, death, stoning to death for her and the man she committed adultery with. Marriage qualifications is only for a virgin woman and a man marrying a woman that is a virgin. I'm telling you the way that it should be. It should have been. You see, I don't have a lick of confidence in my generation, 20 years behind me, but I do have a little confidence for those that are 40 years behind me. You know the reason why? Because we can do something about them. We can help minimize their mistakes. Straightway, we marry a lot of people who have never had any sex whatsoever at all until they get married. And the marriage is not a contract with a state. A marriage is when that man goes inside that woman and he pops her cherry and that woman becomes his wife. That is what marriage is. What you call marriage out here in secular society is a girl having all kind of men inserting themselves into her, putting their stuff into her. She has 4, 5, 6 partners in high school. She has 15, 20 partners in college. And then when she decides to settle down and get so-called married to some simp man, you call that marriage. I call that man, you just got finished getting married not only to an adulterer, but you just got finished marrying a bitch. A bitch, according to the etymology of the word, is a female dog. And a female dog, when it's in heat, it will mount anything that comes its way. It don't care what dog comes along. And that is the women in this society.
That's raw talk, Mother Jennifer. Please, end the show.
Very raw talk, but very much needed, Sister Ashley. That is something that we were not taught, this truth as young girls. You know, so many are squandering the opportunity. They're giving themselves away. They're squandering the life, the virginity that Yah has blessed them with, because they don't have understanding at all. So I'm thankful for this ministry, thankful for a shepherd who will speak the truth no matter what. And I just want to say that women, daughters, it's just time to put away childish things. And shalom.